Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, This is WJZ-FM, Cadenceville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The day shuts down. The games light up. This is BetMGM Tonight with Brad Evans and Pat Boyle on Westwood One Sports.
Hey-o! Welcome on back to BetMGM Tonight here on Westwood One Sports. He's Brad Evans. I'm Pat Boyle. And we are brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. Hour number two kicks off right now, and you can watch the show live on YouTube. Just search BetMGM Tonight and hit that subscribe button. You can watch the show live on Twitter at BetMGM Tonight. And you can listen to the show on the Westwood One Sports app, the Odyssey app, SiriusXM Channel 375, and hundreds of local affiliates throughout North America. We've got a big Spurs T-Wolves Game 5 coming up tonight in just about an hour from now, but there are plenty of storylines and news to get into here regarding the NBA and the NBA playoffs. And on the line is our Odyssey Sports NBA insider, Nick Friedel. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai and the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Nick, I feel like you're in a different city each week that we have you on here. Where are you coming at us from this week?
Pat, I am in Los Angeles, California, where I just watched the Lakers' season end without much of a push the last couple nights. That team played hard. The Thunder are just a total machine, and we can get into it over the course of our conversation here. But to me, guys, this Thunder team that we're watching is the closest thing the league has seen since that Golden State run where you had Steph and you had KD, and Draymond was at the peak of his talent, and you had Clay before the knee injuries. When you watch this Thunder team, they can hit you in so many different directions that not only am I more convinced than ever, as I've told you guys all year, that I think they're going to win, I'm more convinced now that with the way they have things set up, they're going to win more than just two. Like, they are going to have a chance to really do some historical damage here if they can stay healthy.
Well, that's really upsetting to me, Nick, because the first question I wanted to ask you about was my New York Knicks. Look, last week when we talked, I was giddy about them. Now they've taken it to a whole new level. Seven straight playoff wins, six by double digits, four of those wins by at least 29 points, a sweep of Philly, and a whole bunch of time off before the Eastern Conference Finals. I've already seen the light from the basketball gods, Nick, so I don't care what you say. I see the Knicks winning the whole damn thing. Thunder be damned. So I was going to ask you, have you seen enough from the Knicks to think that they actually can win the title? Maybe that's a no for you. So then I'll just ask you here, where do you come down on the rest versus rust debate with the Knicks? Because they're either going to play the Pistons or the Cavs. Is the time off going to be good for them? Or are you worried that it could hurt them no matter which of those two teams they have to play next round?
Pat, I think it can hurt them only because they're in such a good rhythm right now. There is no question, as the three of us sit here in this moment, the Knicks are the favorite to come out of the East. I don't care who wins this series. The Knicks have the momentum. Jalen Brunson is the baddest dude on the block right now. When he's playing at the level he's playing at, and you're getting the contributions from the Ananobis, at least in the last few weeks, Towns, who I still don't believe in completely, but to his credit, he's been really good. Josh Hart is giving you what he does, and Bridges has had some nice moments of his own. When you have what they have, you've got to feel great about it. Now, having said that, when you have as much time off as they're going to have, of course, it's good to recuperate and get that time away. But you'd almost rather it just start right now because they are so ready to play night to night. So as a Knicks fan, you should be excited because you never know what can happen when you get this deep in the postseason. I mean, I love the Thunder, and I have all along as far as who I thought would win. But if you get into the dance and something happens and some magic transpires, then anything is possible. And right now, with the way the Knicks are playing, they should be dreaming in a very positive way, just like their fans, because of how well they played.
Nick, let's go to the game tonight as Timberwolves Spurs engage in game numero cinco in the Alamo City. What was your take on the calculated Wimby elbow to Naz Reid? Did you feel it was suspension slash fine worthy? Question number one. And the second one I want to ask you, break down the game tonight, and who do you feel gets a leg up in this series? Give us a star and give us one under-the-radar player you believe shines brightest tonight, and go to old San Antonio.
First of all, Brad, I was not surprised that there was something more than the ejection. If you're asking me for my opinion, I would have thought he would have gotten fined because it was a hell of a dirty play. He deserved to be tossed. And in the moment, I think they were wise to do what they did. Now, anybody who's saying, oh, he should have gotten suspended, no way, not in the postseason. It wasn't that completely insane. It was just a dirty play, and he got what he deserved in that moment. As far as tonight goes, when you watch the Spurs, everything revolves around Wemby. Of course, he's that talented. So the answer for me, as far as where everybody is going to see the pressure coming from, it's absolutely Wembanyama, because he's the guy that got tossed. He's the guy that feels like he let the rest of his teammates down. And he's the guy that's going to have to step up and have everybody go, oh, okay, like this guy really is turning the corner as far as superstardom goes. Because if you're trying to take the next step, you have to trust that this guy can produce for you no matter what the circumstances are, and you know he's going to be a little bit more motivated because of how that game ended the other night. If you were looking for somebody else, though, the under-the-radar person, not only do I think the Spurs are going to run away late in this game, especially being back at home, but I think it's Dylan Harper. When you watch the way that team is going and you see what he can provide, obviously, the focus is always on Wemby, but I think this is a moment for him to go, hey, not only am I here, but I'm not afraid of the moment. And when you have young players that can play together and are learning how to win in the postseason, these games are tailor-made, especially at home, for a younger guy like Harper to get it going early and ride the momentum of what will be a raucous crowd in there.
Yeah, by the way, reminder, folks, who missed the last segment or a couple segments ago, Dylan Harper nearly 2-1 tonight on BetMGM to score 15 or more points. Me like,
I like it.
All right, Nick, let's go to the other series. Yeah, you like it too. The Cavs even up the series against the Pistons last night. Tomorrow, the action heads back to the Motor City. Do you believe Detroit revs the engine at home, or does this bad boy go to a seven-game distance at the end? Who advances as well then? Do you like Detroit or do you like Cleveland?
Brad, I like the home team in this series. this is one of those series where you're like, all right, who's playing at home tonight? Oh, okay, I'll take them. At least from where I'm sitting watching, I see these teams as being able to do just enough in these home environments in a positive setting to get across the line. These are two very flawed teams. These are teams that went through a hellacious first round series. I don't buy either one of them as legitimate threats to get all the way through. But if you're asking me who I think is going to come out of it, I still believe it's Detroit. I still think they're just a little bit better defensively. And I believe in Cade Cunningham more than I believe in Donovan Mitchell in the matters, in the moments that matter the most. So Detroit, who by all rights shouldn't even be in this moment because the Magic absolutely bleeped the bed in game six in the second half a week or so ago. To their credit, they turned the page. They got their direction back in that edge that they played with throughout the second half and most of the year. But if you're looking for an edge somewhere, I just think Cunningham's a little bit better than everybody else on the floor.
We're talking to our Odyssey NBA insider, Nick Friedell, here on BetMGM tonight, Westwood One Sports. He's Brad Evans. I'm Pat Boyle. And insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai and the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Learn how it makes every day epic at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, you're in L.A., and so the easy part to predict is now over. The Thunder swept the Lakers. Now comes the hard part. What happens to this team this summer? Not only is LeBron going to be an unrestricted free agent and has to decide whether he wants to retire or not, but Austin Reeves has a player option, and he's probably going to decline it and hit the open market, as well as Rui Hachimura and a few others. But let's start with just LeBron. From what you've heard, Nick, and through talking to others, how do you think this scenario plays out this summer with LeBron? What's the likelihood, if you had to put a percentage chance on it, that he's back with the Lakers next season?
I believe he's going to come back, Pat. I believe as we sit here today that it's probably, I would say, 60-40 that he comes back to the Lakers. There's certainly a comfort level being in L.A. His family seems comfortable there. Bronny is obviously there, which has got to be a big part of the dynamic in play and the equation on which way he's leaning. But I tell you that I was in that press conference room last night at Crypto, and I'm watching LeBron field these questions, and all I kept thinking to myself was, this dude's not really leaving. He kept saying, I don't know, you know, I'm going to take some time. I just believe, having watched him from a distance all these years, having watched the last few days up close, this is a guy who still feels like he has more to give the game. What I would tell you, and what I thought was interesting, was they had all the camera crews for NBA Entertainment, which is the league's kind of in-house video production arm. And they're all in there kind of filming in the locker room after the game, before he went to the podium, the moments where teammates and staffers are walking up and they're just saying goodbye. And it did not feel like, oh man, like this could be it. And obviously they were in there just in case it is the end. But I think he's coming back. I know there will be some speculation about Cleveland, and they definitely would give him the better chance to win another, or I shouldn't say win, to compete for another championship bet. I just don't believe either scenario with what's out there for the Lakers and with the roster situation in Cleveland, anything is going to get him back to that championship level. But on a baseline level, I absolutely believe that he's coming back next season. And I say that as somebody that thought there was no way prior to the start of the year that he would play longer than this year. So you never know for sure. You don't know what he's going to decide, but that's where I'm standing right now.
Mm. Okay, so regardless of what happens with LeBron, I'm assuming there's not many realities where either J.J. Redick or Rob Pelinka go anywhere. I know Pelinka mentioned they're going to hire two assistant GMs, and I think that's probably part of Mark Walters' takeover as the new majority owner of this franchise. But as it pertains to Luka, how much say do you think he will have on what this team looks like next year? And I think it would be wise for the Lakers to maybe just, you know, say to LeBron, hey, we'd like to move on. Even though, you know, J.J. Redick and Rob Pelinka both publicly said they want this whole core to be back, you know, LeBron, Luka, and Austin Reeves, I think they should let LeBron walk. I think they should re-sign Austin Reeves and then build the rest of the team around Luka Doncic. But do you think Luka will have a say in what happens this summer?
I don't think there's any question, because if you've made the move to acquire Luka, Pat, and he signed the deal, this is Luka's team, flatly. He's the guy, and he has to be the guy that you run everything else by as you're building out the next 5 to 10 years of your organization. So he is that difference maker now. And, you know, it's funny, listen to LeBron last night. LeBron's sitting there going, I've never been the third option in my life. and now for the moment, especially if he stays on this team, he is. So LeBron still has the star power. He still sells the tickets. But this is Luka's time, and this is Luka's team. And if you're the Lakers, every move that you make has to be aligned with what he thinks and what he wants.
Good stuff. Nick, the NBA draft top five is set with the Wizards, Jazz, Grizzlies, Bulls, and Clippers picking 1 through 5. My belief is the exact order is going to be A.J. DeBonts out of BYU at 1, Darren Peterson out of Kansas at 2, Cam Boozer from Duke at 3, Caleb Wilson of North Carolina at 4 to the Bulls, and Keaton Vogler, who had a 36-inch vertical kind of shockingly today, going to the Clippers at 5. What's your top 5? Any possible trades could you see also with a top 5 or any other curveballs?
I am with you completely, which scares me especially with 5. But Brad, I trust your judgment because we've talked about this throughout the year. You're watching a lot more college games than I am. But when you look at the top 4, when you talk to people around the league, I don't think there's any question that there's that group of 4, and then there's a little cut below. Now, how all these guys do in the pros, we'll see. But DeBanza, Peterson, Boozer, Wilson, boom. I think that is pretty well established. The question to me is, if you're Utah, do you make any kind of push to try and get up to 1? Because that's your guy who just was at BYU for a year. There's clearly ties in and around that area, and people have gotten used to watching him play. Now, with 5, with Vogler, he really came into his own, it seemed, the last couple months of the season at Illinois. He was making that push. The question to me is Acuff a guy who gets more buzz as we get closer to the draft and when the picks actually get made? But if we were trying to lay down the odds right now of how things unfold, I think that's a hell of a good bet to make if you could nail down all 5 on the same ticket.
Talking with our Odyssey NBA insider, Nick Friedel, here on BetMGM tonight. Westwood One Sports Insider Calls are brought to you by Hyundai and by the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Learn how it makes every day epic at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, you cover the Warriors as well as anybody and as closely as anybody. Big news over the weekend. Steve Kerr is coming back on a 2-year extension. In your opinion, is this just pairing him with what could be the final 2 years for Steph Curry in the Bay Area? It feels like those guys will both end their time in San Francisco together. And whether that's Curry retiring or Curry maybe, you know, one final step somewhere else, feels like Curry and Kerr are together until the end of their time there.
Pat, I'm with you. I think the only thing that would change it is if Kerr decides after 2 years, hey, I've had enough, I want to go do something else. And Steph says, I want to play another year. But at this point, Steph said he wanted to play multiple years. You have to figure he's thinking in his mind at least 2 more. Kerr now is locked in for 2. I think the other part about this that people kind of lose focus on is Kerr just loves to coach, guys. He really, at his core, in his heart, is a coach. Now, of course, you put Steph Curry on your team, and he's your leader, and he's making everything else go day to day. Hell yeah, you want to sit there. I'll take $20 million and coach the Warriors and Steph Curry. Like, there are way worse things to do. But I think Steve's sitting here looking at this going, I just couldn't walk away from what I've built. And he has given Steph that credit, Pat, time and again through the years, because he said all the time, I could be whatever coach I want to be. If you don't have Steph Curry, there's only so much that you're able to do. So I think he couldn't walk away from coaching, and he couldn't walk away from Steph. And when you're trying to figure out what happens with the Warriors, I still don't believe they're going to be anywhere close to a title contender in the next couple of years, but there is continuity in bringing Kerr back and knowing that Steph is going to be the show at least for the next couple of years. And there's a lot of relief in the Bay Area that those two guys will be at the forefront of whatever they do over the next couple of years.
Okay, so and does this mean there's a good chance that Draymond comes back next year? He's got a player option for over $35 million, but I'm sure Mike Dunleavy and Golden State would like to make that a little cheaper if they can. You think Draymond comes back as well?
I think it is much more likely with Kerr back in the fold. But Pat, what I would tell you is that it's Stephen Kerr, and then there's a gap, and there's Draymond. As far as how tied together is everyone for this final stage of this iteration of the Warriors. Draymond knew he could have gotten moved at the trade deadline. He was well aware that the Giannis deal, if it goes through, he was probably headed elsewhere. Whether or not he picks up that option, it's a good point because ideally what the Warriors would like is to have him take less money if he wants a second year and even that out. But guys, let's be real. Draymond is not nearly close to the player he was even a few years ago. There's been a big decline in his night-to-night production. So do I think he ultimately stays with the Warriors and keeps going? I do. But I am not as nearly as certain as his future as I am about Kerr and Steph riding off into the sunset together. There's respect for what Draymond has done and what he's been able to build culturally alongside those two guys and Klay Thompson. But actions are going to speak louder than words, and I think there is at least a solid chance that Draymond's deal and that contract, if he picks up that option, heads somewhere else if they still want to land one more star.
And my apologies, by the way. That player option is $27 million. Not 35, so it is a little bit cheaper. And you also got Kristaps Porzingis, who's going to be a free agent after they made that trade. That's $46 million that is potentially coming off the books. Then you got Jimmy Butler coming back from the torn ACL. So, look, I'll ask you here, Nick, last question. Do you think there's any other big moves the Warriors might make this summer? Is that are they in the Giannis sweepstakes or any other big free agents you think they might have their eyes on? Because if not, they're going to run this team back from last year, and you said it. There's not really a chance of winning the title. So is it just basically like, you know, hey, all Silicon Valley with your billionaires, come just spend tickets and watch this basically 500 team, you know, just kind of play out their final days like you're watching the last season of your favorite TV show?
Pat, what they're entering into is the Kobe zone. And what I mean by that is in those final few years – with Kobe and the Lakers, it wasn't about Kobe and delivering another title. It was about, hey, there's only so many more chances to watch this guy play. He's not going to be here playing for this team much longer. And people were far less concerned about the outcome of the games. They just wanted to see him go out, try to score 30 or 40. And then in that last one, of course, the memorable 60-point performance. But if you're the Warriors, there's three names to keep an eye on this summer. It's Giannis. Do they get back involved in the sweepstakes to try and get him? It's Kawhi. What happens when whatever punishment may or may not come down with the Clippers? Does he look to go elsewhere? And there's one more name that at least we should put out there. I don't believe it's realistic, but it's LeBron. Because is there at least a chance that LeBron is like, you know what, I don't know if I want to be with the Lakers one more time. I don't know if I want to do the Cleveland reunion for a third time. Why not play with Steph and Draymond and have this experience, be coached by Kerr, and see what this is like? I think that is very, very unlikely, but I think there is a chance. The issue for the Warriors, Pat, is we can sit here and talk all day about the possibilities. I don't care if you put Giannis on this team right now. If you made the trade to get him and you had to give up what it would take to get him, and you had Steph and Giannis and a couple picks and maybe some younger players, that is not good enough. They're still going to be the most interesting team in the league. And they're going to be fun as hell to follow day to day for what we do. But that is not close to a championship level contender again.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do either way this offseason. Nick, we appreciate the time so much as always, man. Can't wait to catch up with you next week. And my Knicks, they're going to have to make a believer out of you like they've already made a believer out of me. So we appreciate it, brother.
Always, guys. It's good to be with you, and I'll talk to you next week.
See you, Nick.
There you go. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedel. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai and the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. All right, we got to take a break. The number to join the show. You want to weigh in on anything Nick said about the Lakers and LeBron and Luka, their offseason plans, what the Warriors might do, and also any of those NBA draft conversations. We're just over a month away, still kind of fresh, 48 hours away from that lottery, or since that lottery. So any NBA discussion, thoughts you want to get in on, 310-840-4910. When we come back, we're going to talk some baseball. That's coming up next here. He's Brad Evans. I'm Pat Boyle. This is BetMGM Tonight, right here, Westwood One Sports.
Thursday night, it's a Westwood One special presentation. NFL Schedule Release 26, hosted by Scott Graham and Mike Golic. What's your team's toughest stretch, and where are the wins? We'll tell you Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Westwood One Sports.
Clones, listen up. Not all beef jerky is the same. In fact, there are major differences in quality from one brand to the next. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. Chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings. Every bite is better for you and higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, and candy. Old Trapper, in the Clearview bag, is the world's finest jerky, made with only the best ingredients. So ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
Spring is showing up and showing out. Give your yard its own moment with limited time deals from Lowe's. Grab select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, two for only $15. Plus, we've got Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil, five bags for just $10. A little dirt, a little color, and we are so back. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid 5/7 through 5/13. Selection varies by location. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
We just want to have enough money for retirement.
And travel to visit our grandchildren.
I understand. That's why at Fisher Investments, we start by getting to know each other. So I can learn about your family, lifestyle, goals and needs, allowing us to tailor your portfolio.
What about commission-based products?
We don't sell those. We're a fiduciary, obligated to act in your best interest.
So how do your management fees work?
We have a simple management fee based on the value of your portfolio. So we do better when you do better.
We appreciate that kind of transparency.
We also check in with you regularly to keep you up to date on the markets and your portfolio.
Well, what other services do you offer?
As a client, you have access to resources on investing, financial planning, estate planning, Social Security, Medicare, and more.
Wow, sounds like Fisher Investments has everything we need.
At Fisher Investments, we're clearly different. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.